On the game, talk with Cole Manbeck in just a moment. You can't be serious at 5:50. The greatest run call that I have ever heard. You're listening. Those few of you that were listening in the waning moments of the K-State baseball game on the second game of the doubleheader on Friday, I guess it was. It was not my botched home run call when I started to get into see you later and Quentin Crandall's ball hit the wall. It was not that. Not one of my prouder moments, not one of my greater moments. I actually wanted to come in and listen to it today, but unfortunately the game did not record it or get recorded, and the system that we usually have to go pull stuff off that's been off air or on the air, I was not able. It was not working. I couldn't get it. I wanted to bring it up and make fun of myself today, but I could not do it. Literally could not do it. But I will admit to you, and this, Mitch, this is what I was talking about earlier. I'll go ahead and just publicly submit this to you for Jabroni of the Week nominations tomorrow. It was game two of the doubleheader on Friday, and I had already done TV. Then I'm doing radio. I'd been at the ballpark for like 7 hours. And by the way, I'm giving you all the background here. No excuses. No excuses. I messed it up. Shouldn't have happened. Can't happen. No excuses. But the setup here is I'm very tired. I'm getting a little more sloppy with things. I'm just not as detail-oriented with everything. And I also was cocky that I've now done baseball like 4 years, and I can tell better off the bat if a ball has a chance to be gone. Therefore, you can set up the call some more, frame it better. So Quentin Crandall just smokes this ball, and I was like, oh, man. Like, this is, yeah, this looks like this thing's gone. And, you know, had the wall been 6 inches shorter, that thing would have gone a long ways. But unfortunately, I started to say, see you. And about the time I hit you, I was like, oh, crap. And it clips the top part of the wall, comes back in, and literally all I could do was just see you. Oh, it's off the wall. And then, you know, Matt blows up laughing. We made fun of it for like 10 minutes on the broadcast.
I figured Matt got after you about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Deservedly so. Deservedly so. Like I said, no excuses. Lesson learned. Lesson learned. I will try and fight the fatigue better, fight the cockiness better, whatever it is. I will do better. I promise you. All right, with that, we turn to Cole Manbeck, who we have not had a chance to talk to since spring football ended. But we'll start with the draft. I mean, we've been talking about K-State's two drafted prospects here, Jordan Willis, Elijah Lee, throughout much of the show, Cole, and they both fell. I think it's hard to dismiss any of that. They both went lower than most people would have expected. How much did it surprise you that they fell?
It surprised me a lot more that Jordan Willis fell the way he did. I mean, I thought he was borderline first round. When you consider his production in college, his work ethic, his attitude, everything about him, and then the combine work that he put in, I mean, to me, he screamed late first round, early second round. To go in the third round was shocking to me with everything that he did. With Elijah Lee, I really wasn't surprised. You know, I thought Elijah Lee was probably a sixth or seventh rounder at this point, coming out early, and I don't judge him for that. I mean, if he makes the team, the league minimum is $450,000. So, you know, getting out of college and going, and if he could make $450,000 in year one, I think most kids coming out of college would take that. So I do not judge him for that. You just hope that he makes the team. I don't know another year in college how much that would have truly helped his draft stock.
Yeah, see, I'm with you on that. I'm glad you bring up that point. I mean, that is another part of it here, too. The biggest knock on him seems to just be size. And I guess you could say come back, try and put on some more size with another year here in college. But I'm not sure he had a ton more to prove as far as just making plays on tape. It really would have been all just about putting on size. And even if you make an NFL practice squad, I mean, you can still put on size there. It just seems like to me it makes more sense than people really want to admit.
But, and there's no reason you can't put on size just, you know, after you leave college here, like you said, and just in the work between the combine and the college season ending, you know, you can put on 10 to 15 pounds if you really go at it. So, you know, I just didn't think there was a lot more for him to prove. I mean, granted, another year in college, maybe he becomes a fourth or fifth rounder, but the, you know, the salary differential isn't that much different in those situations. And, you know, the bottom line is now he just needs to go to Minnesota and impress the coaching staff, at least be a special teams player. I think he could be a really good special teams player early in his career and do well, and then make the league minimum at worst and continue to progress your career, and you can make a few million dollars at least doing that.
Cole Manbeck talking with me here. Real quick, just on the draft too, the Big 12 only having 14 picks, less than the American Athletic Conference. How damning is that to the Big 12's reputation?
Well, it's a concerning number. I mean, it was rather staggering to hear that thrown out near the end of the draft. At one point, I think it was late in the draft, and there had only been 10 Big 12 players taken. Now, on one end, you know, there are a lot of guys, a lot of key guys coming back to college this year. I mean, Oklahoma State returns a ton of talent. K-State obviously returns a lot of guys, and other schools as well. But it's certainly a staggering number, and I don't think it does great for the Big 12's reputation by any means. So it's definitely a damaging statistic. We'll see if it changes next year when I think there'll be more guys that are draft eligible, that are talented, and see if that number increases.
Since we haven't talked since the spring game, what to you was the biggest takeaway from what we got to see?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the quarterback play, that was one of the things I was most interested in seeing. Yeah, I thought Skylar Thompson actually outperformed Alex Delton, and that didn't necessarily surprise me. What did surprise me is Bill Snyder does seem set on Alex Delton going in to fall camp as Alex Delton's number two quarterback. And to me, I thought Skylar Thompson looked a little bit better, especially when you consider he was playing with the second team the entire time. I would have liked to have seen him get some first-team reps and rotated that a little bit. But that was really what I saw that I liked with the play of Skylar Thompson. And then, you know, we knew a lot of the other givens that were there, and, you know, in terms of the players that returning at running back and receiver, we knew there was some talent there. I thought Isaiah Harris played well at the receiver position. Carlos Strickland certainly looks the part, and it's a matter of getting, you know, timing down and everything involved with that. So outside of that, there were just so many injuries. It was tough to really gauge anything, and disappointing because a lot of the guys that were injured were guys that we were all looking forward to seeing. So that was unfortunate, but like I said, the quarterbacks is something that I was very interested in.
Cole Manbeck talking with me here. Yeah, I know Bill Snyder said after the game going into fall, the number two quarterback is Alex Delton, and that makes sense, makes plenty of sense. But if we get to a month in the season, Big 12 opener, say Jesse Ertz goes down with an injury, do you think there's any shot it is Skylar Thompson who will actually be in the game?
Well, I think part of it depends on who they're playing. Weak run defense type teams, and I think Alex Delton certainly has a chance to play. But, you know, Skylar Thompson can run the football. He's athletic. You know, he's a mobile, dual-threat guy. So I don't think it just specifically relies on that. But, you know, if Jesse Ertz went down in a game, my answer would be I think you would see both of them in different packages. I think Alex Delton would come in, run the ball some. He could throw it, obviously. He proved that in spring game. He can still chuck the ball around a little bit. But I think if you're going to utilize your receivers, which I believe they think is a strength, and they certainly look like a strength on this team, if you're going to utilize those guys, you need a guy to consistently be able to throw the football to them. So I think that guy is Skylar Thompson. So if Jesse Ertz did go down, I certainly think Skylar Thompson would be a guy that would step on the field in that game.
Any real observations from the running backs? We did get to see some of the depth. Mike McCoy had an impressive run, but anything really stand out to you there?
I mean, you know, we know Alex Barnes and how good he is, and Justin Selman looked maybe a little bit more explosive in the open field to me than he did last year, but struggled obviously down in the goal line situation in the spring game. But, you know, that was a position I was eager to see with Tyler Burns and Mike McCoy as well, just to see the true talent and depth they had at that position. And I think you see the potential with McCoy and Burns, but they still have a little ways to go. McCoy obviously has all the physical tools that you need. It's just a matter of technique and running style at this point, getting everything nailed down. And certainly, you know, maybe late in the season this year he could be a contributor, but certainly by his sophomore year, you know, a year from now, I think he could be a guy that they could really rely on.
Defensively, you know, we always start with the offense, even though defense is really where we have more questions with this team, but we didn't get a chance to see Daquan Patton, which was disappointing, and really the fact that he's hurt to me tells you, you know, all that much more likely that you're going to see those three guys that we've heard so much about, Jade Kirby, Sam Seislove, and Trent Hanking at linebacker. But were you impressed with those guys? You get a chance to see them very much. How good do you feel about linebacker coming out of spring?
I feel okay about it, John. I don't know how much I could really take away with what I saw a couple weeks ago in that game. But, you know, I think those guys, by the time the season starts, they can be solid contributors at the linebacker position. But, you know, Elijah Sullivan was another guy that didn't play in the spring game, another athletic guy. Justin Hughes, I thought, showed some things. You know, he showed his athleticism in the speed, obviously, at the linebacker position. But ultimately, I agree with you. I think with Patton being injured right now, it just leads more to the fact that starting linebackers, when you're in that 4-2 defense, will probably be Trent Hanking and Sam Seisler at this point going into the season. And then I think by the middle of the year, we'll start to see Daquan Patton sprinkled in more, and maybe an Elijah Sullivan or Justin Hughes get the mix.
Well, finally, and most importantly, new GA and big addition to the football team and football staff, Stanton Weber. What did you think of his performance there on the sidelines in the spring game?
Well, I thought he was really good. You know, he had his play sheet in his back pocket, looked really prepared. You know, he was one of the few coaches on the staff not wearing a hat. I thought, you know, maybe he could have put a hat on and dressed more like them, but he apparently wanted to stand out. I don't know if that's like Stanton or not, but yeah, I thought Stanton did a nice job, and the offense certainly looked okay, so we'll give credit to him for that. I think he brings some nice energy to the staff, so Stanton, if you're listening right now, we're going to miss you on the show, certainly this year, but we expect that you'll still pop in as a guest appearance on Power 10 Game Day for us and you know, tell us about the game plan.
So what you're saying is, Stanton Weber's performance in the spring game was better than his recent performance in the PowerCat Game Day group text.
Well, we haven't really heard from him much, so if he is, Stanton, if you're live out there, you know, maybe text us a couple times and let us know. Maybe Bill Snyder is really working him over right now. He must be pretty busy. So, yes, that is what I am saying, John, that he has performed better on the sideline, the coach, than he has at responding to our text.
How desperate, like, jabroni radio guys do we sound like right now? Like, oh, come on, football staff member, return our text, please.
We do maybe sound a little bit desperate. So I can certainly see that. But John, you're talking to a guy right now that's doing the show. I mean, this is the most exciting thing regarding what's going on right now. I had to pick Brody up from daycare right before this show. And in order to keep him quiet, I've been driving around my neighborhood in my car, and my gas light is on, and it says 32 miles to empty, and this is probably one of the most thrilling experiences now that I have a kid that I've had in months. So will I run out of gas or not before we end this show? That's probably the biggest mystery.
Man, well, really living on the edge. I am I'm riveted. I will let you get to it. Please text me and make sure that you don't die in this whole situation. Make sure you're okay.
I am only a few blocks from home, but I wouldn't be surprised if the neighborhood calls the cops from a silver kiosk to circle the neighborhood.
Oh, I love it. Cole, appreciate the time as always, man. We'll be talking soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, John.
All right, there's Cole Manbeck. Let's all hope. Let's hope that everything works out okay. No gas issues with the kid in tow. You can't be serious at 550, the best home run call that I have ever heard. But when we come back, I'll give you some Jordan Willis analysis from NFL Network, the pick there to the Cincinnati Bengals, plus the James Shields trade and Patrick Mahomes. There are parallels. You're listening to The Game.